Dr. John Wood is the author of Ordinary Lives, Extraordinary Mission, 5 Steps to Winning the War Within. It has been one of the Dynamic Catholic's best-selling books with over 200,000 copies distributed to date. Since the release of the book in December 2012, John has spoken at more than 100 parishes and schools across the country, inspiring thousands to embrace the message of the universal call to holiness and help reawakening the sleeping giant called the Catholic Church. John and his wife, Kristen, currently reside in Northwest Ohio with their 4 children. John is a mobile eye doctor, and he travels to over 40 nursing homes and developmental disability facilities to provide eye care through his business, Mobile Eyes LLC, which he started in 2007. Please welcome Dr. John Wood.
All right. Morning, men. I like to start my talks asking for help, and St. Joseph has been a great intercessor for me this year, so I thought we'd start with a prayer to St. Joseph. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. St. Joseph, teach us to be good fathers, for you are a father to God the Son. Teach us to be good sons, for you are a son to God the Father. Teach us to be good husbands, for you are the husband of the Mother of God. Teach us to be good workers, for you are a master builder. Teach us to have humility, for your actions spoke louder than your words. Teach us to be mighty warriors, for they call you the terror of demons. And teach us to love courageously, for you are the head of the Holy Family. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Come, Holy Spirit, let my words be your words. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I live in a small little town now that's even smaller than Fowler, and my wife and I moved there after I graduated from optometry school, and we didn't know anybody when we moved to this tiny little town where everybody else was related to everybody else. And we had 2 kids at the time. Isabel was probably about 4, Hannah was about 2, and when we went to Mass, we had a lot of trouble getting Hannah through Mass. I don't know if any of you have 2-year-olds, but it's hard to get them to sit still, hard to get them to listen, and we're these new people in this parish. So we used to try to bribe her with this little bag of snacks, some pretzels or Cheerios or something. She called it her little bag of nuts. And it was my job as the dad to make sure that little bag was full before every Mass. And one day I forgot to fill it up. And she ran out before Mass even started, and she literally just started going nuts. She's just like, more nuts, more nuts, more nuts, more nuts. And you know, and my older daughter, Isabel, she's about that age, you know, 4, where she wants to help. And she's not so quietly whispering to Hannah, Hannah, shh, you got to be quiet. We're in church. You can't talk. Shh. You know, and so Isabel's getting frustrated. Hannah's lost it. Mass hadn't even started yet. The whole place is staring at us. I looked at my wife. She looks at me. I'm like, oh, we got to get out of here. And so she grabs a bag and a bag. I grab a bag, and she picks up a kid. I pick up the other kid. And right about the time we stood up to walk out of there, Isabel loses it. And she screams at Hannah, and she says, Hannah, Daddy doesn't have any nuts. She's like, dang. When I was in high school, if you told somebody you didn't have any nuts, you were saying what? You don't have any courage. And today, in this day and age, we need men of courage, because there is a crisis of men in our country, in our church. There's some pretty sobering statistics. You know, the number one reason for poverty in this country, fatherless children. The number one reason for crime in this country, fatherless children. And I'll propose to you, the number one reason why 85% of confirmation students are leaving their faith, fatherless children. Study after study after study shows that if a father doesn't care about their faith, their children will not care about their faith. I don't care how devout their mother is. The father has an important role. And we have to step it up as men. We have to be leaders. We have to ask ourselves, what's important in life? You know, being a son to my dad and being a father to my children has totally changed my worldview. It's made me a different man. You know, back in 2008, I watched my father die of cancer over many months. And he died on August 6th of 2008. And 3 months later, exactly on November 6th, my one and only son was born. And I was torn between this legacy of my father and this new life of my son. And it's those two times in life, birth and death, where you're forced to ask the question, does God exist? You can't ignore God at those moments of your life. Is he real or is he not? Because if God is not real, then birth is the beginning and death is the end. But if he is real, then God is the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the one who was, who is, and is yet to come. And I know that one day my son will meet my father, and that my father's legacy lives through me, and it lives through my son. We have to be men of courage. We have to live a life of faith. It changes your whole worldview. If you believe in God, if you believe in heaven, it changes the way you live. It changes the way you make decisions. It changes the way you parent your children. So today I want to give you just four bits of advice to help become the man that God created you to be, the father that God created you to be, the son that God created you to be. And I like acronyms as a man. They help me remember things. So the Mass is the source and summit of our faith. So I'm going to give you four things that make up an acronym of the word Mass, M-A-S-S, so you can remember this. The M stands for mission. The A stands for accountability. The first S stands for sacraments. And the last S stands for sacrifice. Four things that will help you become the man God created you to be. So you begin with mission. We always got to begin with mission. What is your mission? What is your goal? What is your purpose? You know, if you remove the M from Mass, what are you left with, right? Just A-S-S, right? And, you know, it's the same thing with our goal. If we remove mission, then nothing else makes sense. You know, accountability, who's going to hold anybody accountable to anything if there's no heaven? Sacraments are meaningless if there's no heaven. Nobody's going to sacrifice anything if there's no heaven. We have to know our mission. What do you want in your life? I forced myself to ask this question several years ago. I want my children's future to always be bigger than their past. I don't want them to worship pleasure. I want them to have pleasure in worship. I want to arm my children with the sword of truth so they have a fighting chance against an enemy that does not sleep. I want to be a better father and a better husband. I don't want to go through the motions anymore. I don't want to ask the questions, what's in it for me? Or what's the least I can do? I don't want to make excuses. I don't want to say I'm too old, or I'm too young, or I don't have enough time, talent, or treasure. That's an insult to the one who gave you your time, talent, and treasure. I want to be free in the truest sense of the word. I don't want to be a slave to food or drink or any other possession of this life. I want to hear God's voice. I want to befriend silence. I want to fight the good fight. I want to finish the race with nothing left to give, because I don't want to come to die and discover I haven't lived. I want to see my father again, shake his hand, and know that he's proud of the man that I became. I want to be a saint with all my heart, and so should you. The best thing you can do for yourself, for your children, for your friends, for your family, for your city, for your nation, for the world, is become the saint that God created you to be. We can't be complacent with ordinary. God calls you to something more. Every single one of us are called to be great saints. And too often we make excuses. Ah, that's not for me. You know, that holiness stuff, okay, maybe my wife, that can be her department. But, you know, I'm just an ordinary guy. I got to go to work. I got to pay the bills. I just, you know, I don't have time for this. You know, I just don't have what it takes to be a saint. Like, come on. But if you read the Bible, if you read the story of salvation, every man that encounters God is given a mission, and none of them think they have what it takes. God comes to Moses in the burning bush, and he tells him to go to Pharaoh to tell him to let his people free. And what does Moses say? Please, God, pick somebody else. How is their enemy? I can't speak. I stutter. And what does God say? Who is it that makes the deaf hear and the blind see and the dumb speak? Is it not I? Now go, and I will be with you. Or Gideon. Gideon says, I am the weakest man from the weakest tribe. I cannot possibly lead an army into battle. And God said, that's precisely why I chose you, because you're the weakest man from the weakest tribe. I'm going to prove It's not you who will bring a great victory. It is I, if you just trust me. Or Joshua, you want me to do what? You want me to just walk around the city 7 times, blow the trumpets, and the walls are just going to fall down? That's it. Trust me. Or Peter, leave me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. It's like God says to every one of these men, I know you're sinful. I know you're weak. I'm not afraid of your weakness. I got a job for you. I got a mission for you. I will make you fishers of men. But you have to trust me. You have to know that you were made to be a great saint. You have to want that for yourself. You have to want that for your children. That should be your dream for them, to become the saint that God created you to be. Because you'll never be happy unless you're holy. Holiness and happiness, they're the same thing. And God wants us to be happy. The M stands for mission. I don't care if you're running a business. I don't care if you're playing sports. I don't care if you're trying to be a parent. I don't care if you're trying to live life. You have to know the goal. You have to know the mission. Our mission is to become great saints, to spend forever with each other in heaven. M is mission. A is accountability. How are we going to hold ourselves accountable to this great mission? You know, Matthew Kelly, New York Times best-selling author. Anybody ever heard of Matthew Kelly? A lot of you? He's been my favorite author and speaker for a long time. And so for him, he actually published my book, which just absolutely blew me away, just beyond my wildest imagination. But he gave me some great piece of advice, and I've never forgot it. And it's a great way to hold yourselves and your family accountable to this great mission. He said, put your mission everywhere. So I took a piece of paper, and I wrote the words, become a saint, and I stuck them on my alarm clock, so it's the first thing I see when I wake up. And I put it on another piece of paper, and I stuck it on the bathroom mirror in case I forget from getting up to going to the bathroom. And I put it on the dashboard of my car. I put it on my snack cupboard. I put it on my refrigerator. I put it on my television. I put it on my computer. I made it my screensaver. I put it on my cell phone. And I made these wristbands that say, become a saint. Be not afraid. And I've handed out well over 10,000 of these in the last 2 years to people all over the country. So every time I look at my watch, I want to know it's time to become a saint. I want that mission on my mind every waking moment of every hour of every day, because every day you're going to make hundreds of decisions and you're going to choose the saint inside of you or some second-rate version of yourself. And your children are watching you and they learn from you. You want your children to be great saints? Then be saints. You can't just tell them. You have to show them. You have to model it. And you'll be amazed how powerful it is to put those little reminders all over the place. All you little guys, go grab yourself a wristband. They're all right back there for free. All you big guys, too. There's wristbands for everybody. They're free. Take one with you today. Constant reminder of who you are, who you were made to be, and that you have nothing to fear because God is with you, and he's the one that's going to transform you into a great saint. Accountability is powerful. You know, especially as men, we need each other to hold ourselves accountable. This is one of the reasons I love J.R.R. Tolkien, The Hobbit, Lord of the Rings. This guy was a very devout Catholic, and these stories are soaked in Catholicism. The Lord of the Rings is the story of two ordinary little hobbits, and they're given this extraordinary task. Frodo has to carry this ring of power, and he has to destroy it in the fire, but he can't do it alone. Sam is with him every step of the way. And there's this great scene in the movie where they narrowly escape the enemy, and there's this dragon flying overhead, and Frodo's sitting on the ground, and he's out of breath, and he just says, I can't do this. And Sam gets up, and he says, you're right. By rights, we shouldn't even be here. But it's like in the great stories, Mr. Frodo, the ones that really mattered, dark and dreary they were, filled with danger. And sometimes you didn't want to know the ending, because how can the ending be good when so much bad has happened in the world? But folks in those stories, they had lots of chances of turning back, only they didn't, because they were holding on to something. And Frodo says, what are we holding on to, Sam? He says that they're still good in this world, and it's worth fighting for. Your children, your sons, they're worth fighting for. This nation, our church, our faith, it's worth living for. It's worth dying for. We have to rediscover it, and we have to hold each other accountable as fathers, as sons. You know, dads, when your children come to you, instead of, when they ask you, I'll give you an answer to every question why because they're always asking you why. Like, why do I have to brush my teeth? Why do I have to go to bed? Why do I have to do my homework? And we're always tempted to say, you know, because I said so, right? I'm your father. Do what I say. I'm going to give you a new response. I want you to say, because you were made to be a saint. Why do I have to brush my teeth? Because you were made to be a saint. Why do I have to do my homework? Because you were made to be a saint. And if what you're asking them to do is not helping them become a saint, then at the very best, it's wasting their time. You probably shouldn't be asking them. And sons, I want you to hold your dads accountable too. My children are very good at this. And I'm watching a football game. My little boy comes down. He says, Daddy, you want to play? I'm like, I'm busy right now. I'm watching the game. He's like, is that going to help you become a saint? I'm like, it's the fourth quarter. The score is tied. There's 2 minutes left. You know, we're gonna learn some great lessons here in virtue and everything. You know, try to make up my excuse. But kids, I want you to hold your dads accountable to this mission and ask them, is this helping you become a saint? Because we're in this together. We're helping each other. We have to have a great motivation. And the biggest motivation we should have to hold us accountable is the love of the Father, that God is a Father. His very nature is Father. And the best thing you can do as dads is to introduce your children to Him, the perfect Father. And my father did this well. My dad was not a deeply religious guy. You know, he converted to Catholicism after he married my mother. And I always just, he went to Mass every Sunday, but I just figured Mom wanted him to go to Mass every Sunday. And I remember saying family rosaries, they went usually something like this. My mom would always lead them. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. And as soon as she'd say the word Jesus, me, my three brothers, and my father would then proceed to see who could finish the prayer the quickest. Holy Mary, God represents our day, our other men! You know. And my dad would always win. It's just the kind of guy he was. He won at everything. So, not a deeply religious guy, but he had some qualities that I think greatly mirrored God the Father. For one, he was extremely patient with us. I don't ever remember my dad losing his temper with me. It could be because nothing I did was probably that bad compared to my two older brothers. But I remember testing my dad once when I was in college. I got this speeding ticket, and I was telling my friend, I'm like, man, now I got to call my dad and tell him I got a speeding ticket. And my friend had this idea. He's like, this is what you do. You call your dad and you say, Dad, I got a DUI. And then when he freaks out, you just say, no, it's just a speeding ticket. But that doesn't sound so bad now, does it? I'm like, wow, that's a good idea. I'm going to try it. So I did. I called my dad. Anytime I ever had a problem or a question about anything, I always called my dad. He was my go-to guy. And I usually called him at work. He worked at a bank. He always answered the phone the same way. It's Jack Wood. Can I help you? And I'd say, Dad? And he'd say, yeah, just like that. He loved to hear from his children. I said, Dad, I got a DUI. And he said, you did? I'm like, yeah. And there was awkward silence. And then he said, okay. And it wasn't an angry okay. It wasn't like, okay, you're out of the house, or I can't even talk to you right now. It was an okay filled with the most disappointment that I'd ever heard in my life. And it absolutely ripped my heart out. I couldn't even take it. I'm like, I'm kidding. It's just a speeding ticket. And I knew I never wanted to disappoint my father that way. Because I don't ever remember being bored around my dad. It was either really exciting or really annoying. It was exciting because he was always there. My dad always wanted to be where we were at. Came to all my games, all my track meets. I knew he was always going to be there. But it was annoying because I knew he was always going to be there. And sometimes I didn't want him to be there. He used to come to all my track meets with this stopwatch. I hated my father's stopwatch. You know why? Because it held me accountable. This thing, it knew what I had done in the past. It knew what I was capable of doing. And I understood if I crossed that finish line with something more to give, I knew my father would know. And I didn't want to let him down. Not because I was afraid of what he was going to do to me. He would have been there whether I got first or last. He never complained. He never said, you can do better than that, or what happened? He never said anything. He was just there timing me with this stupid watch. And I think he timed every lap I ever ran around that track. By the time I graduated from high school, I was pretty successful. I was a state champion in high school and college. He had four big scrapbooks full of newspaper articles and times and splits. Kept track of everything. He just loved to see me run. He just loved to see me give my best. And you know what? God the Father is exactly the same way. He just wants to see you run. He just wants to see you give your best. He doesn't disown us when we make mistakes. He just wants to be with his children. That's all any father wants. He wants all of his children back around the dinner table again. And he'll do whatever it takes. And we shouldn't strive to become saints because we're afraid God's going to send us to hell if we don't. We should strive to become saints because God is our Father and we love him. And it should break our heart to be anything less. It should break our heart. We have to rediscover God as Father. We're supposed to be models of that to our children. We're supposed to introduce them to a Father that loves them. That's what the gospel is all about. The gospel today is about a son who comes to his father and says, I wish you were dead. I want my inheritance now. And the father gives it to him. And he wasted on all the pleasures of the world that he thinks is going to make him happy. And then he finds himself broken in the gutter and he has nowhere to go. And so he goes home planning to beg his father to be a hired servant. And his father sees him coming from a long way off and he runs to him. And he throws a robe on him and shoes on his feet and rings on his finger. And he kills the fatted calf because his son was dead and is alive again. That is the heart of a father of mercy, a father of love. And it should hold us accountable. It should make us want to be heaven, go to heaven. I mean, we should thirst for heaven like God thirsts for us. The M is mission. The A is accountability. The first S is sacraments. You see, as men, we always want to be superheroes. You know, I always wanted to be Superman as a little kid. I used to put my underwear on over the top of my pants and have my mom safety pin the towel around my neck and fly around the house trying to save Lois Lane. You guys do that? Like, you want to be superheroes, right? You don't do that? Oh, man, I'm the only one. We all want to be superheroes as men. We want to do something great. But we can't. We don't have what it takes. You weren't born Superman, right? You weren't born with this power. And you're not Batman either. You can't just work really hard because your parents were murdered and all of a sudden now you know karate. You know, it doesn't work like that. You can't earn your way to heaven. You can't try hard enough to be a saint. And you're not Iron Man. God doesn't just put a suit of armor on you and cover all your ugliness so that you can be superhero. There's two Catholic superheroes. The first one's Captain America. He's this skinny, wimpy kid and he wants to be a soldier, but he's just not big enough. He's not strong enough. Until one day they give him this super secret soldier serum, right? And then he becomes Captain America. He needs help. Or Spider-Man, skinny, wimpy kid, Peter Parker, he's always getting beat up. And then one day he gets bit by this mutant spider. And he wakes up the next day and he has a gift. He has a power that he didn't have before. As Catholics, we might call that spider bite or we might call that super secret soldier serum grace. Supernatural grace, because that's where you get your superpower. You don't have what it takes to be the man that God called you to be. You need help. You need grace. That's what those sacraments give us. They give us the power to do things that we don't have the power to do. I call it the pickle effect. I was in college, came home one day. I was just starving. Went to my fridge. It was pretty much empty because I was broke. I had some pickles and some mustard and some apples or something. So for lunch, I'm sitting at my kitchen table and I'm eating pickles for lunch. And I'm sitting there for some reason, I'm reading the food label on the pickles. You know what the first ingredient in pickles is? Anybody know? It's cucumbers. All right. Now, mind you, I'm 21 years old at the time, and I'm thinking to myself, why would they put cucumbers in the pickles? It had never dawned on me that a pickle is a cucumber. Even though they're the same size, they're the same shape, and they're the same color, it had never dawned on me that a pickle was a cucumber. Why? Because that vinegar that transforms that cucumber into a pickle was so powerful, I couldn't even recognize it anymore. And once you go from being a cucumber to a pickle, you can't go back to being a cucumber again. You are changed forever. It's the same thing that happens in the sacraments. You are transformed from the inside out. You are made into something new, a superhero with a great power. And it's the same spirit that transformed all the great saints of the past. St. Paul was a murderer. St. Peter was a coward. St. Pelagia was a prostitute. I just read about one guy who was just beatified. He was a satanic priest. He used to offer black masses. Had a conversion. Now he's one step away from being canonized a saint in the Catholic Church. That's the power of sacramental grace. Do not tell me you don't have what it takes. You have access to the same power that all the great saints of the past have. But we need to tap into that power, receive those sacraments. The M is mission. The A is accountability. The S, sacraments. And the final S is sacrifice. Sacrifice. If you want to be a real man, you need to be able to sacrifice. You know, I gave the speech at my brother's ordination last year when he's ordained a priest. And it's the same thing. You know what a priest does? They offer sacrifice. Do you know what a father does? They offer sacrifice. They lay down your life for another. Now, I'm only 36 years old. I don't have as much experience or wisdom in life as a lot of people. But I know this. The things in my life that have brought me the most joy, the most happiness, the most peace, things like winning a state championship or graduating as an eye doctor, fixing up an old house, making it into a home, running a marathon, getting that book published, or most importantly, my wife, my children, brought me more joy, more happiness than anything I could have imagined. But I promise you, they are the very same things that brought the most heartache, the most frustration, the most suffering, the most sacrifice. True love in a fallen world is hard. That's why you should put that crucifix everywhere. That crucifix. Put it everywhere as a constant reminder you what a real man is, what true love is. Jesus Christ laying down his life for each one of us. That's what that crucifix tells us. And when I look in the eyes of Jesus on that cross, he speaks to me. And he says, "This is how I got my bride to heaven. How do you expect to get yours there? You better be willing to lay down your life for your family, to be the man God called you to be." Jesus is the image of a real man. And yeah, life's hard. Yeah, it involves sacrifice. It involves suffering. But St. Paul assures us that the suffering of this life is nothing compared to the glory of the kingdom that is to come. And I don't know what it's like to pass from this life to the next, but I'll tell you how I imagine it to be. You know, in the Olympics, when they run a marathon's 26.2 miles long. And in the Olympics, they run most of the race out on the city streets. And then that last 0.2 miles or so, they go through this tunnel into the Olympic Stadium to run the final lap in front of all these spectators. And I imagine that 26 miles out on the streets, that's like the race of life. And as somebody who's run a couple marathons, I can tell you, there's times in that race where you feel like you can fly and times where you feel like, I can't take another step. Sometimes you're going uphill. Sometimes you're going downhill. Sometimes the wind's in your face. Sometimes the wind's at your back. And that's life with its peaks and valleys. But at the end of this race of life, you're going to come to this tunnel. And I imagine my tunnel will be filled with all the great saints of the past, my coaches, my mentors. They're all going to be there giving me high fives as I run through the tunnel, telling me to finish strong. As I come out of that tunnel into the stadium, I hope it's the biggest stadium I've ever seen in my life. Because filling that stadium will be the souls that you directly or indirectly helped get to heaven in some way. It'll be like that movie, It's a Wonderful Life. All of a sudden you realize just how important your role is in God's plan for salvation. And as you cross the finish line to the race of life, I want to lie on that field of battle, exhausted, knowing I fought the good fight. I ran the good race. I finished with nothing left to give. And when I look up, I want to see my Father in heaven and my Father from earth. And I want to hear the words, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Well done, good and faithful servant." That's my dream. That's my light in the darkness. It's my hope in the midst of despair. That's the fire inside that does not burn out. That's the extraordinary mission that we're all called to as men. And I want to invite you on that mission. No matter where you're at on your journey, start today. You're called to be great saints, and your life matters. The way you live your life matters. The way you father your children matters. The example you set matters. If you're apathetic, you're going to spread apathy to the end of the earth. If you're indifferent, you're going to spread indifference to the end of the earth. If you're lazy, you're going to spread laziness. If you're holy and you strive to become a great saint, you're going to set the world ablaze with the fire of God's love. That's what you're called to do. St. Catherine of Siena said, if you are who you should be, you will set the whole world on fire. I'm asking you as men and young men to become who you should be. Become great saints.